I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily community meditation, where today we're talking about sweet, peaceful sleep. In today's community meditation, we're going to be looking at some promises God has made about how he grants sleep to those he loves. He can give us this pleasant, sweet, peaceful sleep. We're going to be asking for his help with that, just receiving this from him, taking communion over it today. But why are we taking communion every day? About 10 years ago, I pretty much had no spiritual life whatsoever. Just doing life on my own without God, doing my own thing. But life wasn't going the way I wanted it to go. I was stressed out all the time. I had all the weight and pressure of life just sitting on me. I was running my personal training business and really just wasn't going the way I wanted it to go. Having some months where I'm losing thousands of dollars. But I was seeking after truth. I really wanted to help both myself and our clients at my gym get better results in their health and fitness. So I started traveling all over the country, studying with the best health and fitness experts that I could find. But I really wasn't finding what I was looking for. And I just remember going for a walk around the neighborhood with my wife one evening and just telling her over and over, there's got to be a better way to live. There's got to be more to life than this. Shortly after that, I came across this challenge to read one chapter from the book of Proverbs every day. Challenge said, you read one chapter from the book of Proverbs every day, it will change your life. Proverbs has 31 chapters. So on day one of the month, you read Proverbs chapter one. Day two of the month, you read Proverbs chapter two. And then you keep going like that to the end of the month. And then you start back over again. I had been doing this for a little while. God was starting to renew my mind about some things. And then one day I came across this verse in Proverbs 13:22. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And that verse got me thinking, what's the most valuable thing that we could pass on to future generations? After some time of thinking about it and meditating on it, I came to the conclusion that the most valuable thing we could pass on would be lessons or teaching or training for how to truly live. And I made a commitment that day. I want to pass on manuals and lessons and systems and teaching and training for all the different areas of life. Areas like purpose and health and family and finance, order, time, community. But really, when I got started, I had no clue where to start. So I began to seek God, began to press into him. And my relationship with him just began to grow exponentially. He began to supply. He began to show up and to teach me and to train me. And over the course of about 10 years now, it's turned into this whole program we have called the Abundant Life Blueprint, with books and courses and partners. And it wasn't always easy along the way. I went through a lot of struggles, got put in some impossible situations, but I just saw God come through over and over again. And one of the biggest things I learned through these 10 years is that the number one thing, the most important thing, is daily communion. Daily communion is what I call the number one table turner for all of life. It has the ability to turn the tables, to change the trajectory of our lives going forward, to turn things around and change the direction of our life going forward. Jesus says, as often as you do this, remember me. It's this opportunity to stir his sacrifice into our mind and remembrance, making it active and relevant in our lives today. Helps us to abide in him so that our lives produce much fruit. The Apostle Paul says, every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus, which in the case of a will or an inheritance, nothing happens until you prove the death. So in a way, communion is like an activation of all the benefits that are found in the new covenant. And personally speaking, I found it's this opportunity to do like what we're talking about today, to take these promises that God has made, for example, sleep today, and to activate them in our life, to serve as a marker in time, to say, wait a minute, that's the moment I believed I received those promises from God. And to just begin to walk in those promises from this point on in my life. And it gives us the opportunity to combine the spiritual principles of the sacrifice of Jesus, to pull that into our mind in remembrance and combine it with something practical and physical that we do in the taking of the cracker and the juice. Putting something physical to your remembrance is very powerful. You probably have things around your house that trigger certain memories or emotions. Physical things can help us to remember better. But it's also important we take it the right way. Every time we take communion, we take it with the fear of the Lord, with deep awe and reverence and honor and appreciation for the sacrifice of Jesus. And I think it's important we remember both sides of the cross. On one side, we remember the lead up to the cross. God didn't have to send Jesus. He could have left us off on our own, doing our own thing, separated from him forever. But he chose the way of love. He chose to send his one and only son. Jesus was willing to come. He's willing to humble himself, even unto death on a cross. He's betrayed by his own disciple, rejected by his own people, spit on and hit and whipped and mocked and ridiculed, nailed to the cross. Worst of all, I believe, he was separated from God. He had the cup of God's wrath was poured onto his body. He was destroyed by God. He became a curse. He became sin for us. But then on the other side, he's raised back to life. He's victorious over death. And that same victorious power now lives on the inside of us. He makes us right and holy and perfect in God's sight. Makes us children of God. Connects us back to our Heavenly Father. We can have this personal relationship with him now. So the process we typically use, we start with about a 2-minute long prayer that's mostly scripture. Coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to examine ourselves, because the Apostle Paul says some people are weak and sick and they die early because they don't examine or judge themselves before taking communion. And then after our time of communion, we've been talking about some practical health and fitness tips. Because I truly believe all the principles of health and fitness and how our bodies work are meant to teach us how to exercise our faith. How to receive this grace by faith and to experience God doing the work through us. And then once we understand how to do that, we can take those same principles and apply them into the other areas of our life. So Heavenly Father, I just pray for all those who are watching or listening, their families, all those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. I thank you for releasing us from darkness and transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time ever began. And I thank you that Jesus was smitten for us so that you could fight for us. And I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better. That the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us. And the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named. Not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body. The fullness of him who fills all in all. Father, I ask you to bless us, to make your face shine upon us and let us find grace and favor in your eyes, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to send us opportunities to do good and be a blessing today. Help us be sensitive to those opportunities. I ask you to keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. We ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so we're going to go through the other half of prayer. This is our time to examine ourselves. Are we making today a masterpiece? How are we going to do it? We're going to get connected to the master. We have to have this eternal perspective with God, but our relationship with him has got to be brought down into today to impact the decisions we make, the things that we do, the things that we speak, the things that we think about. And how are we going to do it? Masters of anything are truly just masters of the fundamentals. That's where we talk about executing these four fundamentals consistently. And bring in some presence and some fun and some energy into them today. So our first one, let's get positioned in the light today. This is like the on-off switch. Either we're in the light or we're in the darkness. There's no in-between. And every day, we got to keep repositioning ourselves back into the light. We're going to start with humility. Jesus says, you want to become great in the kingdom of heaven? You got to humble yourself like this little child. Just simple childlike faith and belief and trust in God, humbling ourselves in relationship to Him, humbling ourselves in relationship to other people. Because it's the humble who are given grace. It's the humble who are exalted and promoted. And we're going to receive this forgiveness from God. We're going to forgive ourselves in the middle. We're going to walk in grace and forgiveness with other people. We're going to take our position in love today. Kind and patient and gentle. Always assuming the best. Keeping no record of wrong. Delighting in the truth. Always hoping, always trusting, always persevering. Because love never fails. And we're going to take our position in gratitude and praise today. One of the greatest expressions of faith. Gratitude and praise is one of the easiest ways to maintain our positioning all day. And getting into position is a big deal. Because our positioning helps to put us in the right position to be able to receive all that God has for us. When we get in position, we're stepping into the light. We're stepping into Christ. And God has taken everything that He has, and He gave it all to Jesus. And when we take our position in Him, we get this amazing opportunity. We have access to His Spirit and power and presence, His love and peace and joy, His mind and wisdom, His health and energy, His time and finances. He's got more than enough time in there today to get everything we need to get done today and still have plenty of leftover. It's all available to be received today, but we have to learn how to receive it and get it flowing through us. Which leads us to our second fundamental, which is to magnify the light. To magnify is to make bigger or greater. We're going to turn up the brightness of this light God put within us. It's going to expand the capacity where God can flow more of all these good things through us. To magnify the light, it's all about what we focus on. Where's our focus and attention? It's also going to get this new covenant rooted and established in our hearts. We have hearts that understand God's grace to make us more fixed and consistent and immovable when the issues and pressures of life come our way. And I think of this as meditation. When I think of meditation, I think of constant repetition. What are those things that we're just rolling over and over and over on the inside that we're consistently thinking about and talking about? So to magnify the light, we can magnify God's word, His unfailing love and faithfulness, His mighty works that nothing's impossible with Him. We can magnify our righteousness in Christ. We've got peace with God. We've got His blessing and favor on our lives. We can magnify every good thing that He put within us. We've got this treasure in jars of clay. And just stay focused on all the things that are going well, looking back at all that God has already done in our lives. Because what He started, He's going to finish. He's going to see it through to completion. He's going to sustain it by the power of His word. This is not denying that there's issues or problems. It's simply choosing not to magnify those problems and make them any bigger than they really are. We're going to let them go. We're going to give them to God. And we're going to magnify God as bigger than those problems and rest and trust in Him. But He does give us a choice. We could choose not to do any of this. We could stay stuck in pride and rebellion, bitterness, unforgiveness, insisting on our own way, venting and complaining and pouting, magnifying all the ways people have wronged us, magnifying the issues and problems that we're facing, rather than resting and trusting in God. And that's where we've got to recognize the symptoms, because wherever we're positioned, whatever we're magnifying is going to produce some symptoms in our life. When we're out of position or we're magnifying the wrong things, we might have the tendency to retaliate at people. We might snap at them. We might withhold good things that we know to do because they did something we didn't like. We might avoid people or give them the silent treatment. On the inside, you'll feel this heaviness and weight and pressure, like it's all sitting on you. Might have feelings of hopelessness or helplessness or powerlessness. You might say things like, you know what, this is just never going to get any better. This is going to always be the way it is. There's no way out. Low energy is another big symptom of this. I think of it like a black hole that just sucks the energy right out of you. Then emotionally, there's the fear and stress and worry. We're toiling away in our mind trying to figure things out. We're dreading things in the future, envisioning all these worst case scenarios. You get stuck in these vicious cycles that just seem to keep repeating over and over again. But when we take our position in the light, there's this rest in our soul. And the more we magnify it, the more it grows. And when we rest, God goes to work. And now everything is free and easy and effortless and energizing. As his peace and his joy and his wisdom, his health and energy, his time, it all just begins to flow through us. More than enough for whatever's coming our way today. He just begins to bring these beautiful solutions into our life as he goes to work, effortlessly setting us free. And now all of a sudden we've got hope in any and every situation because we've got God with us. And if all this weren't enough, God gives us this amazing gift of grace. That if we ever get off track, it just takes a moment to turn it right back around. Every day, life's throwing stuff at us, try to knock us out of position, to try to get us to magnify the wrong things. And sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we get off track, and it's learning to recognize those symptoms and turn it back around quickly. How do we do it? I think we start with humility. Father, I missed it. I'm off track right now. We receive that forgiveness from him. We forgive ourselves. If we need to say we're sorry to somebody, we take those steps. Then we start praising and thanking God for his grace and his goodness and his love. And I like to pray this very simple prayer. Father, thank you that what you put within me is more than enough to handle whatever's coming my way today in a beautiful, graceful way. I'm asking for your help to tap into it and to cultivate it, to see it flowing at a greater level in my life. You pray that simple prayer, immediately you feel that weight lift off of you on the inside. You feel his peace and his joy and his love and his energy just begin to flow through you again. It's a beautiful thing. And then our third fundamental, we've got to stay tuned in today. Every day God's trying to teach us and train us and guide us, but we've got to stay tuned into him. My favorite way to do this is with a journal before bed. And lately, we've been talking about starting our journal by implementing what we call some filters at the very top of the journal every night. These filters are commitments that we're making to walk in a new standard for our life, to implement God's way of doing things, his standards for our life, to make a commitment to walk in them. How do we do that? We just have short sentences or phrases that we keep rewriting at the top of the journal every night to keep reinforcing those things to ourselves. It might look something like this. God is working continually for my good, and I'm going to do continually good for others. And then as you go throughout your day and you're tempted to stress or worry or get fearful about something, you've got that reminder, wait a minute, God's with me. He's working this out for my good. When someone pushes your buttons or gets under your skin, maybe they wrong you in some way, you're tempted to retaliate or snap at them or give them the silent treatment, whatever it may be. You got that reminder, wait a minute, God doesn't do that to me. He gives me grace. I'm going to give this person the same grace God has given me. I'm going to do continually good for them. And then I like to start my journal with gratitude and praise to get in position. And then to magnify, what went well today? What are all the ways I saw God showing up today? Because the more we look for them, the more of them we're going to see. And then I like to ask this question, God, what were you trying to show me today? And just get still and listen and reflect back over the day. Whatever comes into my mind, just begin to write those things down. It's important to get out of our heads and onto the paper because it helps us to remember and not forget. And then we got to stay tuned in today. God's trying to navigate us throughout this day. If you ever feel like you're losing that connection with him, just take 1 to 2 minutes. It doesn't take long. Just slow down, take a couple deep breaths, get aware of his presence with you. Think of it like plugging in a phone. You're going to get charged up or powered up again in him. And it just takes 1 to 2 minutes to do. Then the final thing I've learned to do in my journal is to plan out the upcoming day with God. And what I've learned to do is our fourth fundamental. What do I know to do today? What do I know to do today? Because I learned sometimes I was getting out ahead of God. I'm trying to toil away in my mind, figure things out, force things to happen ahead of schedule. And I would get out ahead of him. And the grace is not there. On the other side, sometimes I was procrastinating on things that I knew to do. So I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? That becomes the plan for the day. Not the things I'm unsure of, not the things I'm uncertain on. What do I know to do today? There's always something every day. That becomes the plan for the day. And then we wake up like a kid on Christmas morning, excited for the day. And we remember this very important principle that the first thing out of our mouth every morning sets the tone for the whole day. As I began to learn about this, I began to seek God. What's the best thing for us to say first thing in the morning? I felt like he was taking me back to the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. What's the first thing we see God speak in the Bible? Which is, let there be light. And so I started doing this every morning, first thing in the morning, right when I wake up, the first words out of my mouth, let there be light. And then I like to add, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. It's amazing how just that simple little thing just brings a different energy into the day. Then we're going to get connected with him. We're going to start walking out that plan together with him with a willing heart and a good attitude and full confidence that he's right there with us every step of the way. Just that simple childlike faith with all the doubt and unbelief removed. And when we get to that place of confident faith, God's grace just begins to surge through us. He begins to go to work. He begins to bring these beautiful solutions into our life. Every good and perfect gift comes from above as we rest and he goes to work. And beauty is attractive and magnetic and just begins to pull more and more of everything God has for us into our lives. So let's take a look at some scriptures today. I don't know if you ever had a hard time with sleep. I know for myself, I've had phases of my life where I had really good sleep and then some phases where my sleep wasn't so great. And for me personally, I'd like it to be more consistent. So we're going to be taking communion over these scriptures today. Just taking these promises, receiving these promises from God for sweet, peaceful sleep. Psalm 127, verse 2, it says, in vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat. For he, God, grants sleep to those he loves. Psalm 4:8, it says, in peace I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. Proverbs 3:24 says, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 24, Jesus is in the storm. He's in the boat and in the storm. It says, suddenly a furious storm came on the lake so that the waves were sweeping over the boat. And the disciples, you remember the story, the disciples are freaking out. And what is Jesus doing? Jesus is sleeping peacefully. We see a picture of this. Even in the storm, he could sleep peacefully. Jeremiah 31, verses 23 through 26, it says, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. When I bring them back from captivity, the people of the land, in the land of Judah and in its towns, will once again use these words. The Lord bless you, you prosperous city, you sacred mountain. People will live together in Judah and all its towns, farmers and those who move about with their flocks. I will refresh the weary and satisfy the faint. Then Jeremiah says, at this I awoke and I looked around, and my sleep had been pleasant to me. So Heavenly Father, we're asking for your help today, O Lord. We're asking for this sweet, peaceful sleep that you've promised us. That you grant sleep to those you love, that our sleep would be peaceful and pleasant. We just thank you for that. And we just thank you for the picture of Jesus being able to do this. Thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Just take a moment to remember the lead up to the cross. God sent his one and only son. Jesus was willing to humble himself. Think about what that took for him, to humble himself, to consider who he was, how he humbled himself even to death on a cross. And he did it for us. He's betrayed, rejected by people, spit on and mocked and ridiculed and hit and whipped, nailed to a cross. Worst of all, he's separated from God. The cup of God's wrath is poured onto the body of Jesus. Isaiah 53 says it pleased God to crush him. He was destroyed by God. He became a curse for us. He became sin for us. I think we don't even, it's hard for us to fathom what he went through. But on the other side, he's raised back to life. He's victorious over death. And that same power now lives on the inside of us. Connects us back to God, makes us right and holy and perfect in his sight. He can give us this rest in our soul. Where does this sweet, peaceful sleep start? I believe it's a spiritual principle. It starts with the rest in our soul. And this, we talked about the other day, that every good and perfect gift comes from above. I think this sweet, peaceful sleep is a good and perfect gift that God wants to give us. Supernatural sleep, you could say. Father, we just thank you for this bread and all that it represents, and we ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. Then after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." The Bible tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. He's released us from darkness. He's transferred us into the light. We can have this personal relationship with God. And I believe as you experience God giving you sweet, peaceful sleep from this point on in your life, just going to help us to know him better, to know his goodness and his love and his grace that much more. So, Father, we thank you for this cup. I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have a juice, you can take your juice. All right. Let's talk about sleep just a little bit. So the ability to fall asleep easily and the ability to pop up out of bed in the morning are very related to our stress and cortisol levels. Cortisol levels are the stress hormones we have in the body. They're supposed to be lower in the evening, and then they're supposed to spike and be higher in the morning to wake us up and get us up out of bed. Being lower in the evening allows us to fall asleep easily. Higher in the morning allows us to wake up with good energy to start the day. But a lot of times that cortisol curve gets flipped, where we have high energy at night, low energy in the morning. It's hard to fall asleep, and it's hard to get out of bed in the morning. So we're going to be believing here that God's going to help us. If we got inverted cortisol curves, he's going to help us to flip those around. Now, what are some things that we can do on our own just naturally? We could start to reduce the amount of light in our house before bed. Start to dim the lights a little bit. Stop looking at phone and computer screens and those types of things right before bed. They tend to wake us up a little bit. You can have a little bit, we talk about sweet, peaceful sleep. Having a little bit sweeter fruits, for example, like bananas are great before bed. They help to relax the body before bed. Some sweeter fruits before bed. Something I like to do sometimes, we'll have some just plain yogurt with a little bit of honey and a banana or half a banana. It's a great thing to have to help you fall asleep a little bit easier before bed. Those would be some tips that you can use to help us get started with our sleep. But we're believing God's going to give us this supernatural, sweet, peaceful sleep. But I hope this has been helpful for you today. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.